The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 30. Hobie's plan for crossing the river was basically this. One of the strong swimmers would make his way across, hauling one end of the rope with him. If he made it to the other side and was still capable of fine motor skills, he would then secure his end of the rope to a stump that the ever-thoughtful guide had espied on the far bank. It would then be an easy matter for the rest of us to cross using the rope as a safety guide. I guess he was willing to abandon his precious rope here, as no mention was made of swimming back and untying this end. No mention was made either of who exactly the strong swimmers were, but I did not get the impression from Hobie's little speech that he was referring to himself. Luckily, I guess, we had the gung-ho Alvy in our midst. He very shortly began to strip down to his BVDs in preparation for his Edderly-like aquatic feat. I made no move to take his place. As I have mentioned before in this account, I enjoy being submerged in water, but only when it is bubbly and confined to a tub. I didn't even feel like stepping into the frothy humbunga once I had a secure rope to hang onto, never mind dragging an insecure one behind me. Alvy made the plunge, and almost immediately he was in trouble. The problem, or more accurately one of the problems, was that Alvy was used to swimming in the pool at his club. This was a well-maintained affair with, not surprisingly, little discernible current. It contained no sizable rocks, wildlife, other than the boisterous and posturing members of the club, or any other impediments to the exercise of one's limbs in a smooth, well-executed breaststroke or vigorous Australian crawl. The humbunga, whilst not a raging torrent or vast Mississippi-like expanse, was not at all like an Olympic pool. Alveole learned this rather quickly. The current flipped him over almost immediately. A fish or turtle or something bit him on the thigh, and in his struggle to escape he whacked his head on a rock or some other hard thing hidden beneath the surface. From the shore, we watched his struggle, and as the river carried his lifeless body downstream, we sprang into action. Well, not all of us sprang. I actually kind of stood there, staring, and Mr. Freddy Bananas III was busy with a flea or tick or some such thing that had taken up residence on his abdomen. But Roger and Hobie sprang. Roger began running along the bank, roughly parallel with the floating, unconscious Alvy, shouting encouragement. Hobie leapt onto his camel and began barreling back up the bank away from us all. I wasn't sure what he was up to. For lack of anything better to do, I half-heartedly started after Roger, leaving Freddy B. and the camels to fend for themselves.